word you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Yes, Lord. Before I spoke a word, before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have been so, so good to me. Yeah. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me, Lord. You have been so, so kind to me. Yeah. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, till you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. Yeah, it is. You have been so, so good. Thank you, Lord, when I was your foe. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You've been so good. You have been so, so good. When I felt no worth, oh Lord, when I felt no worth, still you paid it all for me. Overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming death. never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. He's the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah.
Are you thankful for His love this morning? Amen. There's no shadow.
There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. Leave the 99, I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah.
I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it.
Till you give yourself away.
I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Till you give yourself away.
Come on, let's praise the Lord for that this morning.
I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Till you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Thank you, Lord. Would you help me praise the Lord this morning for that kind of love, that reckless love of God? Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Come on, praise Him. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We've done nothing to earn it, but we thank Him for it. Oh, thank You for Your great love, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. You ought to take some time to praise and magnify the Lord this morning. He was looking for you and you wasn't looking for Him. Oh, praise You for Your love and Your mercy. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't believe God's done with us praising Him for a few moments. Come on, lift up those hands and praise Him. Lift up those voices and praise Him. I worship You, Jesus. I magnify You. We don't deserve anything, God. We thank You for Your mercy. We can't understand this kind of love, Lord, but we receive it. We receive it, God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You for being our advocate. Thank You for being the one who goes to bat for us. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you this morning on this subject title for a few minutes this morning, the final word. The final word. Would you please open your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 3, the Old Testament book of Zechariah chapter 3. We will read the scripture in just a few moments. Zechariah chapter 3. How many of you are glad to be in God's house today? Are you ready for the word? Amen. While you're turning there, I want to give just a little bit of background information to this book that will help us as we move through this message today. Zechariah returned to Judah with the former exiles and was apparently a priest according to Nehemiah 12 and 16. And a key moment in the history of the Israelites came after King Cyrus of Persia granted the captives permission to return to Judah somewhere around 538 BC. My Holman Bible describes a situation like this. The people had just come through one of the worst experiences possible in the ancient world. Their homeland was devastated by invading armies, and their capital city was plundered and flattened. Many of their people and leaders were killed, and most of the rest were carried off into pagan lands. And it's in this context that Zechariah's message comes forth. His message is both challenging and encouraging. With God empowering the chosen people, nothing would be impossible, not even rebuilding the temple. But Zechariah was concerned with more than just bricks and mortar. He was more concerned about building back lives, rebuilding lives and hearts, and restoring them to God. This process of rebuilding the temple and rebuilding lives was very challenging and was met with great opposition. How many of you know that when you start doing something for God, you start doing what God has said, you're going to face opposition? This is exactly what was going on here with Zechariah. Zechariah is describing the plight of another priest named Joshua. And here in chapter 3, verse 1, read the scripture with me. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head. They put clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. Hear, O Joshua the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I'm bringing forth my servant, the branch." Will you stretch your hand toward me today and pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for your word. I praise you for this word that you have given me today for such a time as this. I pray you help me to faithfully deliver it with great unction from the Spirit, power from heaven. Father, I pray that you will help me to speak as a man from another world, the heavenly world. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would touch your people, that you would redeem and restore and transform. Do your work in us today. We give you the praise and we give you the glory and we give you the honor in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. I want you to notice, first of all, in this passage, I want you to notice the guilt of the sinner. The drama right here in this passage is in a courtroom. It is the Supreme Court of the universe. God is the judge. How many know that God is the judge? Joshua is the high priest, is the defendant, and Satan is the prosecuting attorney. Satan is bringing his case against Joshua before the Lord. And we're told in verse 1 that he is standing at Joshua's right hand opposing Joshua. I told you just a few moments ago, anytime you start doing something for God, anytime you start stepping out and obeying God, it's going to be met with opposition. The only time Satan is on your side is when you're against God and you're living in sin and you're living a lifestyle that's contrary to God's purpose and his plan. He will oppose anything unless it's sin. How many know that Satan loves sin? And the enemy is out to kill, steal, and to destroy. The word oppose literally means to accuse. He is standing before the Lord accusing Joshua. The enemy's trying to accuse some of you here today. The enemy's trying to whisper into your spirit and whisper into your ear and accuse you. You're not worthy to be here today. Or you're not worthy to worship God. You're not worthy to be in his presence. The enemy will do everything he can to accuse you and whisper in your ear and try to demoralize you and tear down your spirit. Satan wants to do more than just get you to sin. After he gets you to a sin, he wants to accuse you. He wants to slander you. Satan will cripple you and then blame you for limping. He will push you into the mud and then blame you for getting dirty. He's the accuser of the brethren. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before day and night has been cast down.'" Now this is a scene that heralds what is going to take place in the future. Anybody here thankful today that one day Satan is going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and there he's going to burn day and night forever? There'll be no more accusing. There'll be nobody to get on your nerves anymore. There'll be nobody to accuse you before God or anybody else. It's going to come to an end. One of these days he'll be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone forever. Hallelujah. But at the present time, how many of you know we got to fight the good fight of faith? At the present time, day and night, he's standing before God accusing God's children. How many of you know there's no mercy with the devil? He doesn't fight fair. He doesn't fight fair. He doesn't play by the rules. He plays by his rules. I told you a few moments ago from John 10 and 10, the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Notice that Satan has a legitimate case against Joshua. For we're told in verse 3 that Joshua was indeed clothed with filthy garments. By the way, filthy garments here literally means defiled with excrement or waste, and underscores the extreme guilt of the people, which had resulted in the severity of God's judgment. So Satan is accusing Joshua, and Joshua is not saying a word. Now, why wasn't Joshua giving a defense? Why wasn't he saying something on his own behalf? Well, the reason was because he had no defense. Joshua knew he was dirty, and he knew that he was guilty. It reminds me of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee thought he was all about himself. He said, "I thank God I'm not like this old dirty, rotten tax collector." He was looking down upon him, but notice how the tax collector responded to Jesus Christ. He said he couldn't even lift up his eyes. He began to beat his breast and he said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Bible says this man went to his house justified rather than the other. Hallelujah. He knew he was dirty. He knew he was guilty. But he put himself in a position for forgiveness. I can imagine years later, Satan came back to God and said, "Did you see what David just did? He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had Uriah murdered. Now there is the sin of adultery. There is the sin of murder. You are the righteous judge of the universe. Are you going to let him get away with that?" then steal some years later. Can you imagine Satan coming before God and saying, God, you have ears to hear and eyes to see. Did you just hear and see that Peter denied you three times and he cursed you? He denied ever knowing you. What are you going to do about that? Joshua was facing the same situation here. He was dirty, he was sinful, and he was guilty. He knew it, Satan knew it, everybody else knew it. Here was the problem, and as you will see in just a moment, God knew how to handle Satan's accusations, and I'm here today to tell you this morning, God knows how to handle the enemy that's coming against your soul, that's warring against your mind, and trying to accuse you, and trying to kick you to the curb, and saying your life is over, there's no use in trying anymore. I'm here to tell somebody this morning, the devil is a liar. There's a new beginning in Jesus Christ, that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the real reasons, lessons rather, that we need to learn today is how to handle the devil's accusation. Hallelujah. First of all, we need to learn the difference between Satan's accusation and the Holy Spirit's conviction. How many know there's a difference? Both Satan and the Holy Spirit deal with guilt. Guilt is not necessarily wrong. Guilt in and of itself is a neutral tool. Guilt can either be a tool of Satan to paralyze you or a tool of the Holy Spirit to purify you. Here is the difference. Satan will use guilt to accuse you and confuse you, but the Holy Spirit will use guilt to convict you and then to cleanse you. Hallelujah. Satan will condemn you and then seek to rebuke you, but the Spirit will convict you and seek to restore you. Anybody thankful for restoration here today? Hallelujah. Satan wants to lead you to condemnation, but the Spirit wants to lead you to repentance and restoration. And by the way, there is no restoration until you repent. You cannot be restored until you confess with God, confess that what you've done is wrong, and then turn away from it with all of your heart and receive His restoration in your life. Hallelujah. Now, secondly, notice the grace of the Savior. Anybody thankful for the grace of the Savior? Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. Joshua didn't say anything, but the judge comes to the rescue. It was the Lord who came and rebuked the devil. And the Lord said to Satan, I love this, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Somebody say that with me here this morning. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Say it one more time. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. One more time, a little bit louder. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? You see, it was not Joshua's battle to fight here. The battle belonged to the Lord. We are in a war with Satan, but the battle and the victory belongs to the Lord. There's a wonderful lesson we need to learn right here. God will never defend His children's sins, but He will defend His children. Oh, hallelujah. So that'll sink in for somebody here in a minute. He will never defend your sins. Sin disrupts fellowship with God. It comes in between you and that fellowship, but He will defend you. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't wait till you get all cleaned up and you get everything all right and you get all, you know, that's the way we think sometimes. I got to get my life in order and I got to get the right clothes and I got to get this and I got to get that and then I'll come to church or then I'll come in the presence of the Lord. No, God says, come just as you are. He said, come and let me do the work in your life. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad the Lord separates our sin from our person. I'm so glad that Psalm 103 says He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. If that was the case, nobody would be sitting here this morning. I love Romans 5 and 8 that says, but God demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, I can't fathom that kind of love. But before you were ever created, before you ever committed your first sin, I'm here to tell you today that God loves you with an unconditional, reckless, abandoning love that just keeps coming after you and keeps coming after you and keeps pursuing you and keeps knocking on your doors hard. Hallelujah. He's talking to you today. He's knocking on the door of your heart. Hallelujah. Remember, this is a court and a trial is taking place. I told you we're three characters, right? You've got the judge. You've got the prosecuting attorney. And you've got the defendant. But you know what? You also need a defense attorney, right? You can't have a court system without a defense attorney. Here's the amazing thing about this setting. The judge is also the defense attorney. Hallelujah. I love this. You talk about a case that was fixed. This was fixed from the beginning. Look at verse number 2. This is simply an Old Testament picture of what we're taught in the New Testament. In 1 John 2:2, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. How many of you know that it's God's will that we are not to sin? Some people have forgotten that today. They think they can do whatever they want and whenever they want, and you know they don't feel like they're accountable. I'm here to tell you today, you are accountable. You need to walk in the Spirit and walk in holiness and walk in righteousness. He said, I write these things to you that you may not sin. And if you don't have a desire in your heart to not sin, there's something wrong. You need to go back to the altar. You need to go back to the cross, and you need to cry out to Jesus to do a work in your life, because there should be a desire in every single one of us not to sin. Somebody help me praise the Lord. However, I'm thankful for grace, aren't you? The grace of the Savior. If anyone sins, we have an advocate. Somebody say advocate. Defense attorney. Lawyer. Hallelujah. You got somebody to represent you. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you got somebody to represent you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, He's better than Matlock ever thought about being. He's better than Perry Mason ever thought about being. I don't know that I've ever watched an episode of Matlock where he lost, but I'll say that Jesus is better any day of the week. Hallelujah. I'm afraid many of us have been a poor judge of our enemy. We were never told in the Word of God to fight the devil. Listen closely here. We're never told in the Word of God to fight the devil. We're told to resist the devil, but never to fight him. Some of you spend too much time talking to the devil and talking to demons and talking to the powers of darkness. Why don't you talk to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will lift up a standard against the devil. Hallelujah. Why don't you say, I resist you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Never trust somebody that's always talking to evil spirits. Talk to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The way you resist the devil is let Jesus do the fighting. You need to let Jesus do the fighting for you. Even Michael the archangel wouldn't go against Satan 101. We're told in Jude verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You're a lawyer. I'm here to tell somebody, your lawyer is more than capable to close the case and shut the mouth of the prosecutor. when Satan rebuked Joshua, Joshua had nothing to say. But when God rebuked Satan, Satan had nothing to say. How many of you know that the Lord knows how to put your adversary to flight? Notice in verse 3, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Now that word filthy is a very striking word in the Hebrew language. It literally means to be covered with human excrement. That is, these garments were not only dirty, but they were stinky. Right? How many of you know that sin stinks? Sin is repulsive. It is obnoxious to a holy God. That's the whole reason that he sent his son to begin with. Because he didn't want us to have to walk around with the stench of sin on us all the time. So that we could be free. Hallelujah. So that we could smell like him and have the fragrance of Jesus. Hallelujah, just beginning to emanate from us everywhere we go. He said, let your light so shine before men. Go in the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God's marvelous grace and God's sovereign choice that Joshua was cleansed. He said in verse 2 that Joshua was a brand plucked from the fire. I don't know about you, but that's how I feel about my life. He reached down and plucked me out of the fire of my own destruction, my own sin. Aren't you thankful that he reached down and pulled you out? Hallelujah. You couldn't get out on your own. You were too steeped in sin. You were down in that mucky mire of darkness, and you needed somebody to come down and put their hand in your hand and lift you up out of that mess you were in. I'm so thankful for Jesus today. He pulled me out of that miry clay and set my feet on a rock to stay. Hallelujah. Not only was he cleansed, but he was clothed. And he said to him, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, verse 4, and I will clothe you with rich robes. These filthy garments are not only needed to be removed, they needed to be replaced. It is one thing to be dirty, it's another thing to be naked. Dirty garments are better than no garments at all. God reaches into his own closet and pulls out one of his finest robes. Joshua went from wearing his filthy garments to God to his Sunday best. How many know that the Lord knows how to clothe us in robes of righteousness? Hallelujah. Not only was he cleansed and clothed, he was crowned. The Bible says they put a turban on his head. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. And they put this turban on his head and they put clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. That was the headpiece of the high priest. And we're told in Exodus 38 and 26 that written on the front of the headpiece were the words, holy to the Lord. Holy to the Lord. Joshua was now back in fellowship with God. We must put on the helmet of salvation on a daily basis. We must have our minds renewed by the word of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind and walk in holiness unto the Lord. Monday, holy to the Lord. Tuesday, holy to the Lord. Wednesday, holy to the Lord. Every single day, holy to the Lord. We are kings and we're priests before our God in Jesus Christ. Here's the point of this passage. If God is for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. I said, if God is for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. You believe that? Romans chapter 8, verse number 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Hallelujah. When God brings his gavel down, when the judge brings his gavel down and says not guilty, it does not matter who the enemy says you are. It is your lawyer. It is your advocate. It is your defense attorney, Jesus Christ, who has the final word. The devil's been saying some things to some of you, and you feel like that is it. I really don't have a purpose. I really don't have a place anymore. The devil is a liar. He doesn't have the final word over your life. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, your advocate, has the final word. It doesn't matter how bad it looks, how dismal it seems. Jesus has the final word. And lastly, notice the glory of the saint. Joshua was no longer on the sidelines. He was put back to work. How many know that God not only forgives us, but he puts us back in places of ministry? I said God puts us back in places of ministry. Some of you have been sitting on a pew too long not doing anything because you don't feel like you're worthy. Let me tell you something. None of us are worthy in that sense. None of us deserve anything. That's why it's called grace. It's unmerited favor. We didn't do anything to earn it. We didn't do anything to earn this reckless love of God. But it just keeps coming over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Anybody thankful for that today? Thank the Lord. He does not hold a grudge. Joshua was received, he was reclaimed, and he was restored. Once again, he enjoyed two things he had lost through his sin. He had lost his authority with God. Look at verse 6 and 7. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house and likewise have charge of my courts. In other words, I'm going to reinstate you in your priestly duties, in your pastoral duties. I'm going to put you back in the ministry in which I called you to begin with. Oh, hallelujah. Joshua was told that if he would stay pure and holy, he could judge God's house and charge his courts. Now that is a job, that's the job of the priest, isn't it? That's what he's called to do, to oversee the house. That's what he's to do. When Joshua was dirty, he was not only defiled, his ministry was not existent. He had lost all his authority. He had lost his influence. He had lost his impact. And if you lose your authority, you lose your usefulness. You are of no use to God unless you are exercising divine authority in your life. And many Christians are of no use of God to God with sin in their life. How many of you know God can't use you when you're walking in sin? I said God can't use you when you're walking in sin. But if you'll get real, you'll get honest before God, your authority can be restored. Your influence, your impact can be restored. It doesn't matter how much scripture you know and how many Bible verses you can quote. If you're not walking in the power of God, if you're not living out what the Word says, then it's just biblical knowledge. We need to practice what we preach. We need to put into practice what we know to be true. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Paul warned against this in 2 Corinthians, 2 Timothy chapter 3. He talked about those who have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. How many of you know that purity precedes power? If you want power from God, how many of you want power from God? You want His power working in your life. If you want God's anointing, you want His power, you must first be cleansed and purified. The glory of the saint involves a responsibility of our part to live holy and to walk in obedience. But Joshua also had his access to God restored. He said, I will give you places to walk among those who stand here. He had been given once again access to the throne room of heaven. He had lost that access because of sin and guilt, but now he had been received, reclaimed, and restored. Hallelujah. I love that verse in Hebrews chapter 4 that says, seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Did you hear that? The throne of grace. The throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, the veil has been torn in two from top to bottom, and now we have free access into the presence of God. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go to mass. I'm here to tell you today, right now, you can call on Jesus because of his precious blood, and you've got access to the throne room of God. Hallelujah. You may be a guilty sinner or a backslidden saint, as Pastor Tommy comes. Either way, you have an advocate in heaven. I love that scripture that says he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. I don't know about you, but that amazes me. Just because he said it is finished on the cross did not mean that his ministry ceased. The plan of salvation was complete, but the work of Jesus continues on and on and on, because he's praying for you and me right now. Don't ever complain about somebody not praying for you. The one who died for you is praying for you right now. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Jesus is interceding for you. Won't you turn to your neighbor and tell him Jesus is praying for you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've got news for you today. It doesn't matter how complicated your case is, because that's what somebody here is saying today. Preacher, you don't understand how difficult my case is. It's way too complicated. It's way too messy. It's way too difficult to untangle. I've got some good news for you today. This lawyer will take any case. And there is no case. And I repeat, there is no case he will not take on and will not win. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, whether you're saved or lost, if you'll bring your guilt and you'll bring your sin to this great advocate, if you'll bring your life to this great lawyer, he will take your case, he will plead your case, he will win your case and change your sentence from death to life. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I've got life today. I've got life in Jesus. He's changed my sentence from death to life. He who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son does not have life. Anybody got Jesus in this place? Why don't you stand up and praise your lawyer? Stand up and praise your defense attorney. Stand up and praise the one who's standing in your place, who's standing in the gap for you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God. I got so excited when I was walking through the downstairs of my house last night. I began to shout all over that place. I began to think about how he's my lawyer. Hallelujah. There's sometimes when you won't have somebody else come to your defense, and you'll feel like everybody else is forsaking you, and you'll feel like nobody else cares. But I'm here to tell somebody here today, Jesus cares. He'll come to your aid when nobody else will. Jesus will be your lawyer. He'll stand in the gap for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Some of you need to do that right now. You need to bring your sin. You need to bring your guilt. You need to bring your shame. Hallelujah. To the greatest defense attorney who's ever practiced. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you just need to be renewed. Some of you just need to be revived. I don't know what your need is. Some of you need healing in your body. He's your advocate. Oh, he's your advocate. If that's you this morning, I want you to meet me down in this altar. Come on, just make your way to this altar, no matter what your need is. We've all got a variety of needs, but I'm telling you, Jesus, your great lawyer is here to touch you and to minister to you. Hallelujah. I want my altar workers to get down here quick with these that have come. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He is your advocate. He is your advocate. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He said, come just as you are. You don't have to get it all figured out and all sorted out. And oh no, you just come. Just bring your mess. Somebody said, I've got a mess here today. Why don't you bring that mess and lay it down at the feet of Jesus? He knows what to do with it. Praise God forever. Praise God forever.